Connection, episode 214. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good. Hello, Troy, Tom.
Hello, how are you guys?
We've just got back from Queenstown, Tommy. Troy and I had the great pleasure of, Troy was hosting the event, but, you know, I was presenting a little bit there at Queenstown where we took our leaders away. And what I've often said, and Dr. Fred said this to me years ago, and I think it's very true, New Zealand is one of the absolute greatest countries in the world. And I reckon Queenstown, I haven't been to that many cities in New Zealand, but Queenstown's got to be one of the greatest cities I've ever been to anywhere in the world. If you haven't been there, I would encourage everyone to get across, and it's very easy. It's like a 3-hour flight. It's like a bus trip.
John, before you came on air, I was talking to Troy. It's my favourite place on earth. I just love it. And by coincidence, believe it or not, I've spent, apart from the weekend, I came back for the weekend last weekend. I've spent 9 days in New Zealand. I've been all over New Zealand. And I've spent 9 days, and I only came back on the weekend, and then flew back. I love Kiwis. We have a lot of Kiwi listeners.
Yep.
They tell me as I went all over New Zealand, they tell me that they absolutely love our podcast. I don't know if you noticed, Troy and John, Kiwis have got a great sense of humour.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They play well above their weight in, you know, a lot of sporting competitions.
And business. New Zealand has got some of the great real estate companies on planet Earth. And the obvious one we always think about is the All Blacks. And you think about a little country with only a few million people, how they have dominated the sport of international rugby against countries that are rugby fanatics as well, with 60, 70, 80 million people. But in business too, you think some of the great entrepreneurs have been New Zealand, and it's wonderful to see that a country which is like us a little bit, you know, so far away from the rest of the world, and relatively small population even compared to us, and we've got a small one compared with the rest of the world. It's fantastic, but it's really good to be there. And I've got to tell you the story, Tommy, about Troy. What was the name of the burger place?
Ferg Burger. Tom, have you ever had a Ferg Burger before?
I haven't. I've walked past it outside. I've never had a burger, but I know that people talk about Ferg Burger and rave about it.
So tell me. We're driving in. Jonathan, who is our lovely driver, picked us up at the airport, takes us through, and he's showing us a bit of scenery. And as we go past the village, we see this shop with a line 100 metres out in the front. And it's kind of like, you know, mid-afternoon. It's fairly quiet. I think it was a Sunday, wasn't it, Troy? Yeah, it was a Sunday. So yeah. It was a fairly quiet time. And we're going past it, and he said, you got to go there. It's the world's best hamburger. And we said, wow, okay. Well, we see the 100-meter line, the world's best hamburger, and every other burger joint that we could see in every other cafe was basically empty. And we did go back there, and it was really good. Is it world best? I don't know, but it's got a phenomenal following, and I'm sure every Kiwi's heard of it or probably been there. But we talked about this a bit at the conference. You know, the story that gets told about you, whether you're a real estate agent, a real estate agency, or a burger store, the story that people tell. So Jonathan went out of his way he detoured a bit to drive us past. He said, I wanted to show you this place. He said, it's kind of world famous. We then see the line. He then tells us, you know, the famous best on the planet. And that's really what we want all our listeners to have people say about them. Tom Panos, don't sell through anyone else. He's best on planet. And we worked out, and we did the back of the bus ticket numbers as Adrian Bow. Excuse me, Troy and I sat in the park having our burger and fries on Monday night, and we figured out that we reckon it's making about, was it Troy, $8 million, I think, was the revenue. We worked out how many hours.
Conservative, yeah.
And we thought conservatively, we kind of, you know, we assumed that not that much activity happened after midnight. But Troy, then on the way home, he told me that that's where all the activity happens.
Yeah.
It could be 10 to 12 million, but we worked out that, you know, most burger stores would be lucky to make gross 500,000, I would imagine. That'd be probably sensational. And these guys are doing probably 8 million or more in selling hamburgers because they have created a product and a service and a story that the rest of the world hears about. So I just thought it was interesting. I mean, inspiration is everywhere, Tommy, isn't it? Wherever you go, if you've got the radar antenna up, there's always something and someone. And then we kind of went up, and then I turned on the TV at the QT Hotel, which is also a great brand and a great service. And then the All Blacks come on, and that prompted me to talk about the All Blacks the next day, about, you know, how you know, these guys have dominated for decades the global rugby scene. So for all our listeners, you know, there is no shortage of inspiration out there. We just need to make sure we're on the lookout. But what are we talking about today, Tommy?
John and Troy, I've got to say that I can't help it, but as I'm listening to you, I don't know what proportion of business in real estate is won. I know it's most of it. I actually think a leaflet drop or some cold telephone call or some, you know, tricky ethical bribery, you know, lead magnet has very little effect compared to what other people say about you when you're not around. I think business is one where one vendor says to another vendor over the back of a fence or at a cafe or over at a barbecue or over a dinner table, or like me today, I had someone from my daughter's school ring me up and say, I need to sell or rent my house ASAP in Croydon, right? And I think that the sale's already been made because the conversation I've had is, you know, this person is an ethical person, I would use him. And I'm thinking to myself, that listing presentation already has incredible trust in it already, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the U Inc. bit, Troy, that we talk about a lot, which is, you know, who you are 24/7, 365 is really critical, because you don't know where the tentacles and where the relationships and networks of anyone you meet, whether it's the Uber driver that you got this morning, whether it's the waitress or waiter at the cafe or whoever, or your neighbours or anyone. So it's really about living a good life and doing the right thing, and being generous and paying it forward and all those sort of things. And our next week we're going to have a really interesting, which we'll talk about more about next week, but Jeff Jout is going to join us, who's had a very fascinating life. And Jeff will sort of maybe talk about the ups and downs and how that worked. But, yeah, no, really interesting. But I know we sort of – I think we touched last week on the whole thing about environment, Tommy.
Yeah, so
And, John, the other thing before we move on, John and Tom, the other thing that we did notice with the Ferg Burger was that there was little to no, if any, marketing that was used in that brand.
Zero
marketing, and they just had that influence and that consistency about their product. So I know that relates to today's episode as well about environment.
When we say no marketing, word of mouth, which, of course, is the best marketing, you know, and everyone we spoke to, anywhere, you know, your concierge or whatever, everyone knew about it. They knew the story. They raved about it. They said, absolutely, you got to get there. So, yeah, very interesting.
Have you ever seen a Rolls Royce? I'm trying to think. Someone said to me the other day, Rolls Royce doesn't advertise. And I'm trying to think to myself, have I ever seen Rolls Royce do any form of marketing? Have you?
Yeah, I have, but not for decades. There were many years ago, Tommy, there was a famous advertisement, and I think it came out of Europe, which probably makes sense because Rolls-Royce was always made in the UK, or certainly originally. And it was famous because it said a couple of things. One of them, I think, was there was a famous tagline like, if you have to ask how much it is, you probably can't afford it, or something like that. It wasn't quite as aggressive as that, but it was that. And the other one said, at 100 miles an hour, the only thing you can hear is the clock, you know, just saying it's so quiet. And so there was many moons ago, but I reckon you're right. I don't think of late there has been much advertising at all. I think they do very occasionally do some ads, you know, especially when they've got new releases, but I think it's more, you know, more is less type of thing.
Okay, so let's move on to today's topic, and that is, this came inspired by having Phil Harris at the Real Estate Gym in Adelaide, and I saw a slide and it made a lot of sense. It said, thrive in the right environment. And in real estate, if you actually think about it, we've got a work environment, a place that, you know, most people do go into a real estate office and do most of their work. You've got a car environment. It's an important part of a real estate agent's life, because the geography of getting to properties and getting to see people. And increasingly, the new connection economy we live in, we have people that have an area allocated at home where they may do some work. And I know, John, you like having things that are in order, because having things that are a clean desk and not having things that are cluttered affects your mental state. I can't help it. I just wash my car. Every time I wash my car and I come out of the car wash and it's clean, I actually feel that the car drives better and I'm feeling better. It's an invisible way, but I mean, do you know what I'm getting at?
100%. I remember my very first boss said, "Go and buy yourself a brand new suit when you can afford it, and you'll never feel the same." And I was exactly like the car, you know. By the way, it was Ruben F. Scarf, very, very cheap in those days, but it was new and it kind of felt pretty good after having worn a school uniform and a tatty one at that for many, many years. So I think it's a really good. And of course, Tommy, as you've just alluded to there, environment. There are different forms, and environment, of course, includes the people around you. It includes the way you present stuff around you. There's kind of fuzzy around the edges, and you're right. I think that nowadays a lot of people conduct work, probably more work, to be honest, out of the office than in the office. And, you know, the mobile office is the car, and a lot of people nowadays either on their dining room table through their iPad or phone and they have a home office. So I think Ray Dalio talks about Troy, and, you know, I'm a bit obsessed with Ray Dalio at present, have been for some time. Yeah, he talks about if you want to change the world, or if you want to, you know, do something meaningful in the world, clean your desk, meaning start with the basics. And he also goes on, you know, to say, let's not kid ourselves, if you can't keep one square meter in front of you and the drawers underneath it neat, clean and tidy, don't kid yourself, you're going to be organized enough to do something far more meaningful. And I've always been a believer in that. I think environment, and, you know, we love Phil Harris, he's just got so many great practical insights. I think look at, you know, what is your environment, and look at how do you keep it. So I get my car cleaned twice a week, and I have someone that actually, I found someone fantastic who actually comes while I'm asleep at you know, Monday and Thursday nights. And I think he charges $40. It's not a massive amount. And he comes and he gets the key from the concierge, and while I'm asleep, he washes it, and that's it. So I think, and that's just my system. You know, people have got to work out their own systems, what works for them and for their budget, and not everyone's going to be able to do systems, but, you know, you can do it yourself. But I think having a neat, clean, tidy car in this industry of real estate, where people see us and make judgments when we're arriving at opens and auctions and listing appointments and just in the street, I think, you know, people are making judgments. Whether we like it or not, they're making judgments. So I think it's really critical. I'd love people to have a look at Marie, isn't it? Marie Kondo. So she talks, I think her famous book is called The Magic Art of Tidying, or The Magic of Tidying Up, or something. And she's just created this fabulous system for how you kind of run your whole house, let alone your office. But I think it's important. Troy, what say you? I
couldn't agree more. And Phil actually spoke about it at ARIC last year when we were lucky enough to see his presentation. He was talking about the environment and what that means, not only for the physical environment, but the emotional state that you have, the feeling, the energy that you get from that place of business, or where, even at home in your home office, if it's not a comfortable environment, you're going to be distracted and frustrated, and you're not actually going to do your best work. And it can be little triggers like that: cleaning your car, getting a new suit, arriving somewhere early, making sure you've got a clean environment physically, but then that puts you in that emotional state, which we talk a lot about, preparing to succeed, podcasts, getting in the right frame of mind before you start the day. Maybe it's a daily ritual or habit or meditation that you go and do before you actually start work. I think they're all layers that make a huge difference to a professional mind these days. And because we are working so long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in most instances for real estate, because we're all online, that's going to make the biggest difference to people's state.
And Troy, it's not, as I know you were just saying then, it's not just about neat, clean, tidy, although I think that's a starting point. It's about having a productivity temple. So you have everything you need. It's almost like a cockpit of productivity, you know, wrapped around you. So think about, you know, do you need a home printer or not? You know, do you need a filing cabinet, or can you store it all up in iCloud? You know, what are the things you need spare, you know, pens and pads and USB sticks and, you know, whatever else you need. So having everything there, so it just works, because, Tom, you often talk about the importance of speed and getting stuff done fast and sort of the new Google real-time world that we're living in. And so you have to be organized to do that, thinking, oh, God, I need that, but I haven't got it, so I'll send it to them next day or the day after or in a few days. I don't think it works. So I think you've got to sort of wrap yourself around all the things you need and have that wonderful little productivity place.
I was in an office about 2 weeks ago, and it was two agents in two parts of the office, and it was really interesting. One was on the phone on and off and was on the computer, and he was attempting to make calls off a database on the computer, and I couldn't help it. He'd sort of go on, he'd get up, he'd look at things, and then there was another person that had a list of people, and I spoke to him afterwards. He called it his customer list, and they were all written out, and he had his computer turned off. And then I said to him, I'm fascinated to see, you know, how you're sort of, you seem to be sitting here like you're a call center efficient operator. He said, Tom, what I find is if I've got a prepared list of who I'm calling and I write out the notes of what is said, and then I actually hand those notes to my customer service manager, that I get through a lot more work than me sort of having seven screens open up on my computer, because I get highly easily distracted at looking at emails as they come through. And that sort of reminds me a little bit about having the right environment for success.
Yeah, and exactly right. So we've been talking a lot about the physical environment, and now we're starting to talk about the technology environment, but the systems as well that are a part of that environment, I think is really, really critical. So, again, listeners, if you can't keep your desk clean, how are we going to get you up to sell 100 properties a year or 50 properties a year, whatever your goal might be? Really important to work out what are the systems, what is the place, what is the space, what are the people, what are the senses, like the smell, the touch, the sound that you need? You know, do you need to have your top 50 inspirational songs on a specific playlist that you can kind of play in the mornings when you're going for a walk? And, you know, what are the podcasts that you want to have easily accessible and downloadable to give you a great start for the day? So, yeah, I think it's a really important area. And I'm really glad Phil raised that. And as we know, you know, Phil is one of the best agents on the planet, not just in Adelaide or Australia. And Tommy Hector, not far behind him, one of the great agents down there who broke through recently to sell 30 properties in a month. And these guys know what they're talking about.
Can I just touch on briefly, because I did a podcast this morning, and in that podcast I covered Arik while it's fresh in my mind, June 1, June 2. And John and Troy, you've both seen the brochure, and it got me thinking, do you know what's different about this Arik more than any other Arik? That the amount of sales that I'm not referring to some of the overseas speakers we've got, are exceptional. And the one I'm really looking forward to hear is James Clear, because he's talking about what we're talking about here, and that is, you know, create processes, because you're just going to go back to your normal habits when you leave Arik. But I can't get over the amount of people on that Arik brochure that are doing like high level of sales. We're talking 250 transactions by Shari in Geelong, you know, 250 sales. I mean, and I was saying to the person that was interviewing me, I said, you know, what I really, we all like to hear how someone can write $2 or $3 million when they sell 50 or 60 homes because they've got an average price of, say, 3.1. But I think the real estate industry in Australia and New Zealand are dying to hear, what are the systems? What are the environments? What are the processes? What are the skills, structures? What are the position descriptions? How do you structure your team to be able to do 250 sales? As you said, Tom Hector's one of the speakers at Arik. How do you end up doing massive number of transactions? We're talking about pest reports, building inspections, shoots that you're doing at properties. So I just want to give Arik a nice big plug, because I think that this year, I think it's got both million-dollar superstar riders, your David Walkers and, you know, Sonia Treloars, but it's also got what I think the industry has been dying for, and that's saying, give us people that have got an average sale price of $600,000, $700,000, and tell us, how do they write $2 million?
Yeah, yeah, and I think that was a conscious, because we get so much great feedback year-round from people after and leading into ARIC, and we always try and sort of mould the event so it really hits the sweet spot, and that was one of the things. I mean, people have loved, you know, hearing from Matt Steinwade and Gavin Rubenstein, and there's going to be a number of them this year as well, but I think people really wanted to know, what about in the suburbs, the people that don't sell waterfronts and multi-million dollar properties, you know, what about the ones selling $500,000 properties but lots of them? So we kind of took a beeline to make sure that we had a huge array of those. More women presenting this year than ever, Tommy, which is, and Troy, which is
40%, fantastic. 40%, if we could make it 50%, but I think the brochure this morning, I was looking at it, around 40, 45%.
Yeah, and you know, that's, which is fantastic, and it should be 50, 60, and we'll keep building it. And we, I think ARIC is encouraging a lot of women not only to get into real estate but to become exceptionally brilliant at it and also talk about it, which is great. So, yeah, that's one of the nice things. So all around it's going to be fabulous. So there will be definitely lots of stuff about the topic that we've just kind of spoken about around environment, habits. So that should be good. And next week, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Jeff's got to say, because he might also talk a bit about that. I suspect he will.
Yeah, just confirming, guys, that's on the 2nd and 3rd of June. Obviously, everyone will arrive on the 1st of June, Tommy, on the Saturday evening, and then kicking off early Sunday, the 2nd, and Monday, the 3rd of June.
Okay. Quick, as we finish off, your number one habit. Right at the moment, what do you think is your number one habit that helps you in business and life? Now I'm putting you on the spot. Out of everything that you do, what's the one habit? Troy?
So I've just, it's funny you mentioned this, Tom. I just downloaded an app from Apple. It's called Productive as an app. And what it does, it creates habits and it gives you how many times you get them in a row to create a sequence.
Yeah.
So my goal is to get 10 things done 30 days in a row, creating a habit, creating a lifestyle. So can be anything from, one of mine is to have a cold shower every morning. That's just part of my daily ritual. One of them is to have some time, exactly 30 minutes, even longer if I can, to play with my dogs, take them for a walk. It's connecting with 50 people. It's writing a to-do list, reading for 20 minutes, listening to a podcast, making sure I go to the gym for 45 minutes to an hour, drinking 5 glasses of water. So it's actually all in the one app. So I know that I've said a lot there, but that app has actually, I've had it for the last 10 days. And it's worked really well for me to get me back in momentum and just make sure that I'm ticking off those boxes and then seeing how long I can drag them out and have them in a row and sequence.
You're an extraordinary human being, Troy. All that there, and that's extraordinary.
I'm going to be incredibly boring after that wonderful rollout. But I think for me, it's just eliminating excuses and mooring lines, either in myself or the team around me. It's just always finding a way to get to the truth and the outcome and the desired result by just constantly removing the stuff that gets in the way. What about you, Tommy?
This is boring too, but I have made it a habit and it's been working out. Every time I've been traveling a lot and going to places, so whether I'm at a conference or at a hotel room, I make it my business that once I leave, I go back there one more time to check everything, to check, you know, I've got, you know, my iPad, you know, a clicker, or I've gone into the room, toiletry bag, and I've just become habitual that no matter what I do, I'll leave the door and I'll say, I'm going back there one more time. And I have a few things that would have snuck through that I would have left there and I would have had to have called the hotel or chased things back or rushed back from the airport. So that came out of listening to James Clear's book, who's speaking, Atomic Habits, who's speaking at ARIC as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. We'll have to try and get him on if we can before ARIC, just to give us a little teaser. But next week, I'm looking forward to Jeff Jowett. So we'll tune into that, and hopefully everyone's got a few good productivity tips for this week.
Okay, John, Troy, I'll talk to you next week. Really looking forward to listening to Jeff.